nanohub.org.
You can follow along with this presentation using printed slides from the NanoHub. Visit www.nanohub.org and download the PDF file containing the slides for this presentation. Print them out and turn each page when you hear the following sound. Enjoy the show.
So here we're starting to look at performance limitations of graphene nanoribbon tunneling FETs due to line edge roughness. This work is primarily done by Mathieu Loisier at Purdue with a new Ohmann code that we have. Here's an animation that shows you why a MOSFET might be interesting to devices. We're just going to leave it like that. Imagine this thing is moving. So in a tunneling transistor, you might gain a benefit versus a MOSFET transistor such that your turn on and turn off might happen faster than in a MOSFET. In a MOSFET, you're fundamentally limited to a slope of 60 millivolt per decade. You cannot turn off the transistor faster than that. But in a band-to-band tunneling device, you have a chance to turn it off faster because you have a valence band and a conduction band limiting the thermal excitation path of your carriers. So that fundamentally allows you to have a chance to have a steeper sub-threshold swing. And why would you want to do that? You want to reduce power in the device, which is the switching power. So you want to limit the swing you need to over which to switch, and you want to reduce the voltage. So graphene has a capability or offers the chance to build a band-to-band tunneling transistor, because if you take graphene or a graphite sheet and make it into a thin ribbon, a graphene nanoribbon, your dispersion looks roughly like as shown on the right. It allows you to have a gap. The gap does depend on the thickness of this graphene ribbon. It's a one-dimensional structure. It is compatible with planar technology. It has a low effective mass, which is good, so carriers will move rapidly. It, in principle, has a tunable band gap by width. The bad thing is that the band gap is dependent on a nanowire ribbon, on the ribbon width. And there is going to be an influence of these edges on this band structure. And effects of roughness will be important. And the topic of this presentation is to see how important such fluctuations might be. So I'm going to start out with giving you some band structure and transport models and talk about an ideal graphene nanoribbon first, then line edge roughness, and then a conclusion and outlook. So the band structure model that is being used here is a very simple one. It's the nearest neighbor PZ tight binding orbital method. The dispersion corresponds to the one shown here in red. And underneath in blue is shown a GW calculation of a graphene nanoribbon. And it's clear that we're only doing reasonably okay in terms of our band structure at this crossover point, where the homo and lumo bands meet. The good thing is we have an atomistic description where we can represent each atom explicitly. It's also computationally efficient because it's really only a single parameter with a single orbital. The bad part is not really full band. So if there's really anything happening in band mixtures or confinement, we're back to the limitations of a true two-band model. What is being solved here is not the full negative equation set, because we don't need to. In the coherent transport part, you can show that instead of doing matrix inversion of E minus H minus sigma, GR equal 1, you can actually show that the wave function approach is just a linear system of equations, and you can solve it without scattering and without boundary conditions that need an eta or a relaxation. You can solve it much faster in the wave function approach. So in an ideal nano ribbon, you can define the structure and optimize it, and I'll show you some of the transfer characteristics. So in an ideal PIN tunneling transistor, you have chosen here a 5.1 nanometer graphene nanoribbon deposited on silicon dioxide. There's a 1 nanometer effective oxide thickness. There's a 40 nanometer gate length, as indicated here on the top, and a 25 nanometer source and drain extension. Electrostatic potential is computed in three dimensions. We assume a supply voltage of VDD of 0.2 volts and assume symmetric doping. And we have a graphene nanoribbon band gap of 0.251. So here is a electrostatic potential profile on the top right, where you see under a gated potential, we have shifted the gate region down, and there's a finite bias applied between source and drain. If we take this device and calculate an ideal characteristic, we get an ion of 225 micrograms per micrometer, an off current of 37 nanoamps per micrometer, and a subthreshold slope of 12 millivolt per decade. So that's significantly steeper than the ideal MOSFET curve of 60 millivolt per decade. One of the items that we want to achieve is to decrease the off current and possibly increase the on current. And what we can do is we can play with a supply voltage that might help us with that. So you can see on the plot here on the right that the on current, the off current, and the subthreshold swing are being plotted. And as you ramp up the supply voltage, the on current increases, and it increases by an order of magnitude from 0.5 to roughly 0.2. And the off current, here shown in green, is roughly flat. But at some point, at roughly 0.2, the subthreshold swing starts to increase dramatically from the value of 12 to over 20, and also the off current starts to increase. That is really due to the fact that you get ambipolar channel behavior, meaning if your bias is too large, your central blockage region here is not blocking both channels. And that will kill your device performance in terms of subthreshold swing and on current, because you will have additional channels that will conduct. So you want to be in the supply voltage less than 0.2, which is roughly less than twice the gap with the built-in potential. So now if you have an ideal device, you can start to look at line edge roughness. So you will have non-perfect edges and line edge roughness, and that should lead to some sort of scattering or effect. We have used a very simple roughness model here and just remove a pair of atoms with probability P. So you sort of march through, and with a certain probability you just take a pair of atoms away. If you do that, you should do a little numerical experiment first, where you consider, say, a segment of a graphene ribbon and figure out, if I take a pair of atoms away like this, and if I took this structure here and repeated it infinitely, I would have a superlattice, right? And you can start to compute what the band gap of this supercell would be. And it will be a function on how many atoms are you taking away, or what's the probability of taking away atoms here. And basically, you can find it to be depending linearly on the probability of line edge roughness. So your band gap goes down as you increase your roughness. So rough linear dependence on the probability P. And why is that relevant? Why is that super lattice point of view relevant? So in an ideal structure, I'm showing here on the left, a density of states in this graphene structure. So around the intrinsic channel, we have these basically bands that are sitting here. And in fact, you have, if you look really carefully, there's like a ground state that sits here that has S-like symmetry. And then up here, you will have excited states. Why do you have a bound state? You guys in the lecture should know that by now, right? You have interference effects of a barrier here and another barrier here. You have a quasi-bound state that is confined above a barrier. Okay? And you see that for the electrons and you see that for the holes because the dispersion for electrons and holes in a graphene sheet are the same. Now, if you statistically roughen the line edge, you kind of have a sort of a super lattice type effect and you narrow the gap locally. What happens is you start to confine states into that super lattice. So you see here's a ground state, here's an excited state to the right, and a third state even on top. Okay, so you have confined states that are sitting above in the super lattice and above the gap. And that means you will tunnel through these guys and you will tunnel through them resonantly. That means if you have something like this, you narrow the gap, you will be able to tunnel through these and the gap is narrowed. If the gap is narrowed, you increase the current. All right. So if you look at a bunch of samples, they will differ from each other. And if you plot them on top of each other, you see that's a kind of a messy plot, but the current can vary over an order of magnitude from one sample to the next. Right, so one device would be rather different than the next device. The key element is all devices are different. And to get some insight, what we would want to look at is the average on and off currents and the standard deviation and the maximum and min values. So here in this sample, we have varied from 0 to 10% the roughness probability. So now let's look at the standard, the averages and standard deviations for these different probabilities and look at the off current and the on current as a function of probability of line edge roughness and measure the statistical width of these numbers. You see that the on current has a fluctuation, but not that much. But the off current has a pretty strong probability dependence, or the fluctuations of the off current has a strong dependence on the line edge roughness probability. So there's a strong deterioration of most device performances, and you really see on average, say, for a device that has no line edge roughness in purple on the left here, versus in green with 2.5%, in blue with 5%, in red and 7, and black and 10%. Really, your sub-threshold swing from deteriorates really badly from being sub 60 millivolt per decade to something that is rather comparable. So, what we've shown in this presentation here is that we've done a graphene nano-ribbon tunnel FET transistor simulation. We use a very simple PZ-tight binding orbital model. We have a 3D Poisson Schrodinger solver. We do a line edge roughness and we get localized band gap states. That really deteriorates the performance of the device. And what we really are working on right now is to create a more accurate band structure model and include dissipative scattering, electron phonon scattering, to model these devices better. Any questions? Okay?